You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is "The Double is in the Details" by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
You should memorize this scripture this year. It should be in your house. It should be on your refrigerator. It should be on your mirror. Isaiah 61 and 7. Come on, read it with me. "For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them." Amen. Zechariah, 9th chapter and verse 12. Zechariah, 9th chapter and verse 12. Most of y'all don't memorize where Zechariah is, so just look up at the screen. Zechariah 9 and verse 12. Let's read together. "Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee." Now that didn't make all your shouts, so let's read that again from the New Living Translation. That same verse from the New Living Translation. Let's read together. Read the second sentence together, starting at "I." "I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles." Hallelujah. So, Father, thank you that your word is burned in our hearts and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Come on, let's thank God for Sister Ramona Hammond. Glory to God. Mariah Carey, just don't even try to do no whistle no more. Just shut up, Mariah. Just shut up. Tell Mariah, shut up, Mariah. We got Ramona. Glory to God. So we are continuing to talk on this theme of double. Theme of double. That's our word of the Lord for this house. For this year, this is the year of the double. Look at least, make eye contact with at least three people around you or across the room. Tell them this is the year of the double. Come on, say it. Tell them again. This is the year of the double. Hallelujah. This is the year of the double. Come on. Any of y'all, has the devil tried to try any of y'all this year to make you not say that? Sure he will. That's his job. Amen. He going to be in his job, so we got to be on ours. Our job is to resist him. The Bible says that the devil seeketh whom he may devour. Amen. He said, "Whom resist ye steadfast in the faith?" We got to keep resisting. Amen. Don't let down the resistance. Glory to God. Don't let up with the resistance. In the word of the Panthers, keep pounding, keep pounding, keep pounding, keep pounding, keep pounding, keep pounding. Don't let up the resistance. You shall receive double. And so I want to go a little bit deeper. With something that I said. I believe I said it during the New Year's revival, and it'll bring it before you in a moment. But look at Luke 15:8-9. Luke 15:8-9. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." And I want to talk today, I'll start it today, from the subject of something that I believe I said during the New Year's revival that the Lord told me to tell you. The double is in the details. Look at somebody around you, tell them the double is in the details. The double is in the detail. Now, Luke 15, if you have a chance, read that this week, okay? Luke 15 chapter. It's the chapter about three losses. It starts off with the parable of the lost sheep. Then it talks about the woman with the lost coin. And then it ends with the lost son, who we know as the prodigal son. But in the middle of that chapter, he talks about this woman who had 10 pieces of silver. But she loses one, but she doesn't just say, oh, well, that's lost. And I'll be honest, I don't worry about stuff that's lost. I really don't. And I'm not even real diligent about it. Right now, I'm missing a pen that's going to show up. Amen. It's going to show up. Okay. This lady I know, last person I know who's using it. Okay. And but I ain't seen the pen. And there's also this lady who told me don't talk about her during this message. But it's going to show up. Okay. But there's this lady I know. Okay. If she lose something, we just going to move on. I knew I had it. I knew it was here. And we're going to find it now. Like, everything stopped. I know it was here, and we'll start going through everything and start looking under stuff. And I'm just like, well, just move on. But no, this lady I know, she real diligent in finding things. And that's what Jesus says about this woman. She said, either what woman, Jesus kind of distinguishes this as it's a female thing. Y'all know women can find stuff that men can't find. Brothers, some of y'all don't know. See, all that stuff you lost, if you was married, you would have found it by now. Come on, how much got wives to help us find the stuff that's lost? Okay, amen. You wouldn't your keys would be gone. You wouldn't even ever be able to start your car again. But wives find they know where the car keys are. They know where everything is, and they even make stuff appear in the refrigerator that wasn't there when you saw it. And brother, y'all witness to that? You said, "Now I had this right." She said, "It's right in there." And you know it wasn't there. And you walk out, and then she come back and say, "It's right here." Because he put it there. Okay. Or you look in the cupboard and you're looking for something. No, didn't we have some more soup? It's right there. It's right. No, there's no more soup. And then some kind of way she found. Women have a way of finding things. It's interesting that Jesus said, what woman? Because women search with diligence. Women will put more, many times, the truth is many times, they're actually more detailed many times even than men are. Okay? Women generally have better penmanship than men, generally speaking. Okay? So Jesus talks about who this woman, she lights a candle. He does three things. She lights a candle, she sweeps the house, and she seeks diligently. The double's in the details. If the woman, in this case, was not detailed enough to put a light on, to sweep the house, and seek diligently, she would only have 9 coins. But she was able to have all 10 because it was in the house, but she had to seek for it. She had to be detailed. Everybody say detailed. And so the double that God wants to bring you this year is in details. It's going to require you to perhaps be more detailed than you're used to being because the double is in the details. And this scripture also reminds me, the Bible says about the woman who her husband had died. He was one of the sons of the prophets. And she comes to, I believe it's Elisha, and she says, listen, now you know my servant served the Lord, but he has died, and now the creditors are going to come. They're going to take my son to be slave until his debt is paid off. And the first thing he says to her, he asks her a question. What do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? In other words, you're looking for something externally, but you already have something that you can give God the increase. And he said, what do you have in your house? Now watch, which means she had to either go home and she had to either look for it or at least think about it. Because see, can I tell you, I told you, when you get overwhelmed, your brain will shut down. You can't get so overwhelmed, you stop thinking. Sometimes you got to think your way clear. But if you allow yourself to get overwhelmed, oh my goodness, there's nothing I can do. No. There's something I can do. God, I keep my mind stayed on you. You keep me in perfect peace, and you give me strategy what to do in this situation. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, think yourself clear in 2019. You can't afford to get so overwhelmed and talking about and shut your brain off. No. The double's going to be in the detail. You have to think about what you have. You have to take inventory for your skills. You have to take inventory of what you learned. You have to take it. Come on. Some of y'all that's going back and getting those old journals out and looking at those notes and remember the things that God told you in the past. Be detailed. And notice it also says that she seeketh diligently. Because the difference, brothers, when the wife finds it and we didn't find it, we just wasn't as diligent as them. We didn't move stuff around. Amen. We weren't diligent about it. If you will be diligent, which means seeking, going into depth, then you can find it. Look at John, the 6th chapter, verse 12. John 6, verse 12. This is right after Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves, the boys' lunch. And the miracle was actually performed simply by the disciples obeying Jesus. He took the 5 loaves, took the 2 fish, gave it to his disciples, and said, start feeding the people. Watch this. Oh, this is so good. Remember I said earlier, God will never tell you something to do something you can't do, but it'll take faith to do it. I mean, that's easy. Just break the bread up. That ain't like you got to move a mountain. It's not like you got to swim across the sea. Just break it up and start giving it to the people. Now, it was easy to do in the natural, but it took faith to do it. Oh, this is a good word for somebody. Because they look stupid. You look stupid trying to take these 5 loaves here and think you're going to break off enough to feed 5,000 people. What they're each going to get? A grid of bread? Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of that word. Lord Jesus. Thank you. Who helped me with that? I appreciate you helping the pastor. It's called a crumb. Couldn't think of that word. What, they each going to get a crumb? Okay. But they had to be obedient to, I'm just going to do it. And the Bible said, as they started distributing it, the more they distributed, the more it started magnifying. The more they distributed, the more it started increasing. Sometimes God will tell you to do something, but you got to get started and be willing to look stupid. Oh, man. I'm telling y'all, faith, when you express it, when you move out on it, you will look stupid. Hallelujah. Yeah, because people who don't understand in the natural, they're only walking by sight. They're not walking by faith. And so they had to obey him and do it. And so Jesus says, after they did this, after everyone is filled, verse 12, John 6 and 12, when they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I don't want one morsel of bread lost. I don't want to leave one barley loaf. I don't want to leave one fish. Gather the fragments, the pieces that remain. Oh, that's a word for somebody. Because there's a scripture that says strengthen those things that remain. Sometimes we're looking for something new and God is saying strengthen what remains. I know you don't have everything you want, but what do you have? Strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. I may have lost this, but I still got that. Glory to God. I still got my mind. So what? I lost a car. I still got my mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what? I lost a house. Glory to God. I still know how to add. I still know how to subtract. I know enough not to do that again. Strengthen the things that remain. And you've heard me say this before. Sometimes stop looking at how I can get out of this and start asking, what can I get out of this? Strengthen what remains. Gather the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. Therefore, they went and did what he said. Now I'm sure y'all, that was tedious work. Wasn't nothing that they couldn't do. It was tedious work. The Bible says it's 5,000 people out there. Not counting women and children. So that's just 5,000 men. Okay? Now, if a man got a wife, okay, that's 10,000 if they're all married. And y'all know some of them got the nerve to have a side chick. I want some y'all. They may have been in the crowd, too. Not to talk about children. My point is that it was far more, but they had to go around the side of this mountain and start gathering up all the fragments that nothing be lost. Verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. 12 baskets with the fragments. Can I tell you that when the fragments were spread out, it sure didn't look like 12 baskets. Oh my, man, this is so good. It doesn't look like what it can be until you obey God. Oh man, that was a good revelation right there. It does not look like what it can be until you obey God. So God will tell you to do something. What can I do with this? What can I do with that? It doesn't look like what it could be until you obey God. We can change the sign over there. It says Little Olive Building. But we're going to make that, we're calling it our social center. On one side of it, on one side of it is a cafe with a, I want to call it a bar because that'll mess some of y'all up. What we want to call it? A counter, thank you so much. With a counter. Because oh, they got a bar at that church. I knew I'm headed in the right direction. On one side has a counter, and the other side, y'all, we have made now into a nice lounge area, okay? That's some of our volunteers, and we can do special classes and all kinds of things. Can I say, there are a couple folks who were here when we first bought this land and we cleaned out that building. Come on, raise your hand if you was here. I've seen about 5, 6, 7, 8, especially brothers, when we cleaned out that place, okay? That thing was trashed. It looked like just tear this building down, okay? Not only that, but, oh, this is so good. This is so good. But when we cleaned the place out, we found a bag that was for doggy treats, and the bag was full of money. Y'all ain't hearing me here. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me here. But if we did not take the time to clean the place up and just tore it down, we would have forfeited some seed. Are y'all hearing me? Nothing looked like what it can be until you obey God. And God will tell you to do things that make no sense. Naaman had no idea what his skin could look like. But then he obeyed God and dipped 7 times. And his skin came clean and pure like a baby's skin. Gather up the fragments, and there were 12 baskets of fragments of barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. They had to be detailed enough to do it. And I don't believe it's a coincidence that there were 12 baskets, because there were 12 disciples. Okay? They took the boys' lunch. Now, if Jesus had took the boys' lunch and said, thank you for your lunch, now I don't know how, and we fasted. You and your family, y'all fasting. We just ate. But y'all, now how many of y'all know that wouldn't be a good Jesus? So he had to reward the boy. Okay? And so we believe that what happened here with these 12 baskets, and these baskets were not just little small baskets, but these baskets would have been large enough for a man to fit in. Each of the disciples followed a boy home with 12 baskets carried by 12 disciples that say, Mama, look what Jesus did with my lunch. Because little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Little can increase when you do with it what God tells you to do with it. But so watch this. The baskets were in the details. The double was in the details. The 12 baskets of fragments was in the detail. Tedious work, but produced a great harvest. And so we're using this double in the details. And I presented this to my joint staff this week, and then I want to go a little deeper in it with y'all. The Lord told me to present this to the whole church as a strategy for double in 2019. We're using details here as an acronym. D, the first D refers to dig deeper. Look, somebody say dig deeper, dig deeper, dig deeper. I often take you to Deuteronomy 8th chapter. In Deuteronomy 8th chapter, he's speaking to the second generation who's getting ready to go into the promised land. And he tells them, the Lord's going to bring you to a good land, a land with flows of milk and honey. You won't have to worry about food, and you won't have to eat the same thing anymore. You're going to have variety. You're going to have various menus, different types of diet. You won't have to worry about what you're going to drink, because it's water that God is going to just cause brooks and valleys to feed and to irrigate. You won't even have to try to irrigate your own land. God is going to irrigate the land for you. And so he tells them this, and then he kind of sums it up in verse 9, Deuteronomy 8 and 9. He said, the land in which I'm bringing you to is a land that you will eat without scarcity. It's a land in which you will lack nothing. Can I tell you, when I first read this scripture, I was lacking. When I first read this scripture, my needs had needs. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? But I saw in the word that the land that God brings me to, and this land for the children of Israel, this land ain't talking about heaven. The promised land for the believer is not heaven. It didn't even represent, that promised land doesn't represent heaven, because when they went into the promised land, it was a land of the Hittites, the Amorites, Canaanites, etc., you know, and they had to fight. When you get to heaven, how many of you know there will be no fighting? Okay? But God brings you and saves you, and now you still got to fight the good fight of faith. God saves you, and the devil still try to keep you from walking all the promises that you're supposed to have as a believer. You have to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. So the promised land for the believer, it represents us coming into this realm of salvation. It represents us becoming kingdom citizens. It represents us saying, I'm saved now. I've given my life to Jesus now. He said, and when you come into this land for the New Testament believer, he said, you'll eat bread without scarcity. In other words, your lack days should be over. You will lack nothing. Come on. And when I first read this, I had lack, but when I saw that I ain't supposed to have it, I start confessing and say, I will lack nothing. Come on, say, I will lack nothing. Say it again. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you will lack nothing. Glory to God. You got to believe. You want to fight with this word. I will lack nothing. I got student loans right now. Don't know how I'm going to pay them, but I will lack nothing. I got bills, and I'm going to lack nothing. And I don't know where this is going to come from and after on, but I start confessing, I will lack nothing. Glory to God. You got to bring your life up to the word. Don't try to bring the word down to the level of your life. Say it again. I will lack nothing. He said, land, you'll lack nothing. And then he says, it's also land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills, the New King James said, you can dig copper. You can dig copper. Now, the traditional King James, it says, dig brass. But it says you can dig. He said, now, watch this. Just because you're saved, he says, certain benefits all believers are supposed to have in common. Just because you're saved. He said, but if you want more, you can dig for more. Can I tell you the real difference between average and above average? Who willing to dig for more? You know, as we go forward, you're going to start hearing people announce that they're running for president, and people got all kinds of different philosophies now. And as a result of the last election campaign, we got people who felt the burn and talking about socialism and all this, and they want the government to bring everybody's income up to a particular level. Everybody's supposed to have everything equal. Can I tell you, I ain't trying to be equal to everybody. Can I tell you why I'm not trying to be equal? Because God said I'm supposed to be the head. Not to tell. I'm supposed to be above and not beneath. When you're equal with everybody, that's average. God didn't call me to be average. Okay? Now, some of y'all got a problem with that. Okay? How many of y'all got children? All right? Let your children come on and say, Dad, Mom, I decided I'm going to be an average student. Now, you know, you're not trying to hear that. No. What you mean average? Okay, average is that stuff we try to get away with when we came and told everybody, you know, you failed an exam, you got a D. Everybody got a D. Oh, and your mom said, oh, it's all right, as long as everybody got it. No, we got a speech, didn't we? I don't care what everybody did. Everybody ain't my child. Okay, and they started telling us that I expect more of you. Glory to God. Can I tell you, God's child? God said, I don't care how everybody else living. I don't care what everybody else has. You my child. You are supposed to be above only and not beneath. You're supposed to be the head and not the tail. I didn't call you to be average. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are peculiar people. I called you out to show forth my goodness, to show forth my praises. I want everybody to say, that's my child right there. Glory to God. So he says that you can have more if you want to dig for more. I teach this over and over, and I've been teaching this for years, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Something won't flow to you. Something you can just confess, and something you have to dig for.
As we expect double in 2019, there are some practical things that you have to do. Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages you to expect everything that God has for you this year. Order this timely three-part series today and get the bonus message from Dr. Marcia Bailey, Receiving the Double. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Double for Your Trouble and get the bonus message, Receiving the Double. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.